I'm Stephen Kunis, coming to you from West Hampton Cemetery in Suffolk County, New York, location of the famous sportscaster Howard Cosell's memorial, for this week's episode of Over My Dead Body. Welcome, Mr. Cosell, to the show.
Why, thank you. You're certainly lucky to have me.
Well, okay, since you want to go there, to that subject specifically.
What subject might that be?
Vanity and ego. Yours especially.
Well, I am the greatest of all time, and I've been called Humble Howard, so that should give you a clue.
Not everybody likes you.
There are many haters out there.
Many find you to be pompous and phony.
You think?
In your own words, you never played the game, but you felt more of an expert than the guys who actually played the game.
That's just a play on words.
How's that?
You're not a former ball player, are you?
No, and what's up with the hairpiece?
I knew you were going to go there. It was to keep my head warm.
Even inside Madison Square Garden?
Listen, you little monkey, I ain't got time for this shit.
Did you not once call an African-American wide receiver that?
He was fast as hell. And what the hell is an African-American? Was he drafted out of Africa?
It's a long story. However, some say that remark cost you your Monday night gig.
You win some, you lose some.
Coming up, the indisputable champ of sports broadcasting, Mr. Howard Cosell. You all know our next guest from his tenure on ABC's Monday Night Football. But there is much more to his interesting life. He has been voted the most loved and most hated sportscaster of all time. So how do you explain the contradictions? We're about to find out. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Howard Cosell, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. As for the contradictions...
I think before we get to the meat and potatoes, can you provide some backstory of your life for our younger viewers?
Sure. Given my present location, you already know the ending, so I'll start at the beginning. I was born in North Carolina on March 25th, 1918, in Winston-Salem. My parents were Nellie and Isidore Cohen.
Not Cosell, right?
Listen, asshole! Don't interrupt me again! You are correct. I was born Howard William Cohen. I changed it later when I was in college because my grandpa's name was Cosell. The jerk-off immigration guys on Ellis Island wrote the wrong name down, and my dumbass pop decided to just keep it. When I was 9, for some reason, we moved to Brooklyn. My mom wanted to open a furniture store or some other idiotic business that Jewish people run. I attended public schools and got the crap beat out of me every day. Probably why I liked boxing so much at first. After high school, I attended New York University, where I studied English Lit. I then went on to NYU School of Law. After serving as editor of the Law Review and making Phi Beta Kappa, I graduated in 1940 and took a job with one of those elite law firms. But World War II interrupted all that. I became one of the youngest in the Army to earn the rank of major. I met, got laid for the first time, and married Sergeant Mary Abrams. Everyone called her Emmy. I was made a commissioned transportation officer, but never fired a shot. After the war, I opened my own law office.
Can I ask you a question?
No, I'll let you know when you can. I've got a lot of experience with this stuff. And can you guess who was one of my first clients?
I'm all ears.
Willie Mays. How's that for beginner's luck?
Impressive. Speaking of baseball, were you not the lawyer for the Little League of New York?
I was, and it led me to hosting a Saturday morning radio show where my little leaguers actually interviewed professional baseball players.
On one program, Hank Bauer complained about having been benched by Coach Casey Stengel, proving that players would respond to your tough questions that they would normally have balked at if asked by another reporter.
That got me liking broadcasting so much I quit being a lawyer. Pissed my wife off, though. A big part of my success was using that interview format. I asked difficult questions, and I gave athletes the opportunity to make personal observations. I also created drama by using an accusatory tone. This put guys off balance as if I'd knocked them in the head. Then, ironically, professional boxing came calling, and thankfully, the wife was glad for the money and that I'd be out of town for so long.
That's when you met Muhammad Ali, formerly Cassius Clay. You were the first to call him by his Islamic name.
Hell yeah, of course I did. Who wants to be named after a slave owner? Besides, I liked the man. He was just as arrogant as me, but not a mean bone in his body.
Your advocacy for Ali when he dodged the draft probably helped him with the Supreme Court decision that gave him his title back after it was stripped away.
Glad that happened.
And your staccato voice was distinctive. Along with your analysis and context, it was a completely different approach to sportscasting.
Yes, my intellectual approach completely transformed the profession.
Your most famous call was an example of this.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
That is one of the most quoted phrases in broadcasting history.
Of course it is. It should be the only one.
ABC hired you to call some of the most famous fights of all time in the 70s and early 80s, like Ken Norton beating Ali in 73, and Ali over Spinks in 78 to regain the title. But most people remember you for the time in front of millions of viewers on live TV when a pre-fight altercation knocked your hairpiece off.
Didn't faze me a bit. Kept my cool. Cool as a cucumber.
You quit calling matches while on the air in 1982 during the Holmes-Cobb fight. Why?
They should have stopped that fight. 2 weeks earlier, a guy got killed in the ring. So when Holmes was smashing Cobb, I announced on the air that if that referee didn't stop the fight, I'd never call another bout.
It caused quite a controversy.
Yeah, well, after that, they put in a bunch of reforms. 15 rounds went down to 12. The ref could now stop an unfair fight on his own. So, hey, my mouth is a lethal weapon.
By 1970, you turned your attention elsewhere.
Yes, I was doing Monday Night Football by then.
They teamed you up with two former football players, Frank Gifford and Don Meredith.
Two of the biggest dumbasses the world has ever seen.
But the dynamics in the booth between you guys made the show hit number one in the ratings week after week.
That was because of me. I carried those idiots on my back for 12 years.
That's harsh.
I just tell it like it is.
You also coined the famous phrase during your tenure on Monday Night Football.
He could go! All the way!
Still repeated in every NFL game today. We have a caller, Mrs. Andrea Martin from Sterling Heights, Michigan, on the line. She has a question for you. Would you mind?
By all means.
Mr. Cosell, in 1983, TV Guide called you the all-time best sportscaster in the first 40 years of television. Who would you say is the best now?
That's easy. It's that lady on Fox Sports, Erin Andrews.
Is there any particular reason?
Two very good ones, as a matter of fact.
Also, what do you think of men competing in women's sports?
I love it because I hate women's sports.
So it would be okay for Caitlyn Jenner to compete in a decathlon in the women's division?
Don't get me started. There's no amount of surgery or hormones that would make Bruce Jenner lose to a female athlete. Although, let me just state for the record that once you swallow a dick, it's a game changer.
Moving on. In 1985, you published your memoir, I Never Played the Game. Earlier, you called it a play on words, but it pissed off a lot of people and they said it was a bitter ranting. In fact, ABC fired you.
They couldn't handle the truth. I didn't care. By then, Monday Night Football was a stagnant bore. So 32 years with ABC went down the drain.
On top of that, you've never been inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. Why is that?
Who cares? It's got nothing to do with fame. If it did, I'd be in there. I'm famous the world over, the top-rated broadcaster in history, starred in movies and television. Everyone knows my name. I'm in the Television Hall of Fame, for God's sake.
You once said that O.J. Simpson had an uncanny instinct to kill you with a head fake.
I said he can kill you with his swiftness in a single second. He can kill you with his speed. Some of my best work.
You died in the middle of his murder trial. Did you know he was acquitted?
Yes. Johnny Cochran keeps me in the loop regarding all things O.J. So there it is. My words are profound. Told you he could, and looks like he did.
After Monday Night Football, you starred in your own show called Sports Beat. It suffered poor ratings and was canceled after just 3 months.
Your point being?
After that, you never appeared on television again, just radio.
My voice has always been better than my face.
Your daughter Hillary was one of the first sports producers and an assistant producer on the ABC News show 2020. During her career, she received 4 Emmy nominations. You must be very proud.
Hillary is 100% me, except for the pompous, arrogant, abrasive, and bitter elements. In other words, she's 0.1%, her old man.
Is she your only child?
Yes. Although I have a nephew, Greg, who's a sportscaster at NFL Films, and my grandson, Colin, who announces the Mets games at Shea Stadium, that's the only downside of being deceased. I really miss those two. And, of course, my wife, Emmy. Everyone else can pound sand.
Why do you think you never played sports, Mr. Cosell?
First, I was a puny kid. I never got picked to play on any team when I was young unless it was for Smear the Queer, probably where my affinity for running backs comes from. Anyway, I got good and fast with some pretty good moves, getting away from those meat mongers, but never got on a team.
What about later in life?
Never did hit the weight room. I was called Marshmallow for a reason. So I just made it a habit of studying the game from a logical, analytical point of view. I mean, I dissected the crap out of sports. It's why I went into sports law.
We have another caller on the line, Mr. Sam Stern from Atherton, California. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, Mr. Cosell. If you're so smart and right all the time and tell it like it is, and why did you die all alone and an alcoholic with no friends and no one liking you?
Not true. My dog liked me, and my neighbor's cat did too. But my dog hated that cat. Oh, and your sister liked me as well, especially in an alley behind Giants Stadium. Any more smart-ass questions?
Yeah. What was it like to be married to Emmy for so long?
Like opening the fridge for 54 years and seeing the same food in there every day.
So you were never tempted by another?
I never eat another person's food, except my wife's sour cream cake Robustelli. She was a fabulous cook, but this particular dessert was my favorite. Takes a little over an hour to make. I had my grandson post the recipe online. Check it out.
I certainly will. Never heard of a Robustelli cake, I must admit.
It's not a cake. It's a person. A good buddy of mine, Andy Robustelli, was a Hall of Fame defensive end for the New York Giants, as well as a close family friend and a huge fan of Emmy's cooking. This was his favorite dessert. She made it for him every time he came over, so when he retired from football, she named it after him. Andy called it the icing on the cake of his career.
Very sweet. Pardon the pun. If you could go back in time and change one thing, what would it be?
That's easy. My junior high school years.
What happened?
That's where my sports career ended, before it ever began. In the shower, after my first PE class, with 1,000 towel snaps to my testicles.
Sounds harsh.
Never took a shower at school again. Hence, no sports. Started stinking so bad the principal sent me home.
Mr. Cosell, let's revisit for a minute the time in your life when you sort of disappeared from the limelight. Right about when your wife Emmy died.
Jesus Christ, really?
It's so the audience can get a complete picture of you.
Just Google a damn photo. I mean, 54 years with one person and they suddenly disappear. You'd booze it up too.
5 years after her death and you were gone. This brought an odd mix of responses. Very few people cried at your funeral. Why do you think that is?
They were there for the free drinks and food.
We're almost out of time. What do you think your place in history will be?
Who cares? Time will tell. I'd be more famous if I banged more women.
There's a certain truth to that.
Yep. I tell it like it is.
We received a text message before the show from comedian Billy Crystal. He writes, Howard, thanks for giving me my first shot on national television and for introducing me to the champ.
Billy, it was my pleasure. You were simply marvelous.
What show was this?
I hosted a show in 1975 on ABC called Saturday Night Live that lasted a few months. It was the same year that NBC launched a show called NBC's Saturday Night, which changed its name to Saturday Night Live when my show got canned.
I'll bet not too many people know about that.
They do now. Anyway, Billy came on and did his Cosell and Ali impressions. He pretty much stole the show.
We also received an email from a Mr. Tim Gannon from Newtown, Pennsylvania. He credits you with inventing cancel culture for your use of the word monkey on Monday Night Football and the subsequent cancellations of your various shows.
With that comment, I assume he's not looking for an autograph picture of me and Farrah Fawcett on Sports Illustrated. I was buried with that issue, by the way, in a soft rag that now feels like plaster of Paris.
Lovely. You also hosted Battle of the Network Stars around that time.
From 1976 to 1978. Yes, we did 19 two-hour specials. The concept was to pit the stars from each network against one another in various sporting events. I pushed for some serious cornholing. Not today's version, mind you, but the top brass wouldn't go for it.
Do you have any parting advice or observations about sports today?
Sure. I think sports have become too violent. In the past, we ran a clip every week on Wide World of Sports called The Thrill of Victory, The Agony of Defeat. When a skier would wipe out going down a mountain, that's what people secretly wanted to see. Same with car racing. They wait for the fiery crash. Or in ice hockey, they hope a fight breaks out. It's not healthy, although I would have loved to cover the Tonya Harding ice skating event. That girl really knows how to take a knee.
Speaking of which, what do you think of athletes taking a knee at sporting events?
It's ridiculous. It's a game, not a protest. There's a time and a place for everything. You don't see anybody playing football at an abortion rally.
And there you have it. The story, the words, and the truth straight from Mr. Howard Cosell's infamous mouth. Ed Sable at NFL Films once said, 50% of the people hate him, 50% of the people love him, and 100% of the people watch him.
Because I tell it like it is.
You certainly do. Good night from West Hampton Cemetery in New York. I'm Stephen Kunis, and we'll see you again soon on the next episode of Over My Dead Body. We hope you enjoyed the 10th episode of Over My Dead Body. The entire TV series is now available as a podcast in addition to streaming on Amazon Prime. Aside from Howard Cosell, we've interviewed Robert Kardashian, Nostradamus, Steve Jobs, Mae West, Richard Nixon, Julia Child, Tupac Shakur, Phyllis Diller, and Mark Twain. Upcoming guests include Walter Cronkite, Jimmy Stewart, Dr. Sigmund Freud, Jack Lemmon, Lucille Ball, and Jimmy Durante. All told, we plan to produce 60 episodes, and perhaps as many as 300 of them. One thing's for certain, there's no shortage of interesting guests, and more seem to arrive every day. I'm Stephen Kunis, and I created Over My Dead Body, serve as the executive producer, and research and write each episode. Howard Cosell was portrayed by Frank Gerard, a man of many talents and voices. Our wonderfully spooky theme music was composed by Marty Krizwanis. Very special thanks go to Norman Lear for his encouragement in the development of this show, and to the late, great Johnny Carson for suggesting that a talk show with a fantasy guest list would be a wonderful idea.